ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनाशलाकय चक्षुरन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। Hare Krishna. So, we have completed the 8 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam in your study of Vidyapeeth. Now, we will begin the overview of this. So, in the beginning, if you remember, in the beginning of the canto, Prabhupada expresses his mood in writing Srimad Bhagavatam. So I thought of beginning with this point. Prabhupada writes, I am praying to my spiritual master to give me strength to finish this work. I am neither a great scholar nor a great devotee. I am simply a humble servant of my spiritual master. And to the best of my ability, I am trying to please him by publishing his books, with the cooperation of my disciples in America. Fortunately, scholars all over the world are appreciating these publications. Let us cooperatively publish more and more volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam just to please His Divine Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. This is Prabhupada's mood in writing Srimad Bhagavatam. If you have seen this small paragraph, how much Prabhupada was giving credit to what he has done and how much he is transferring credit to his spiritual master and his disciples. That's very clearly seen. I am not a scholar. I am not a devotee. He is a scholar. He is a devotee. That's why his title is Bhakti Vedanta. He has bhakti. He has devotion. He has scholarship, Vedanta. That's why that title is conferred upon him. And he is saying that, I am not a scholar, I am not a devotee. I am simply a humble servant of my spiritual master. So that should be the mood of an ideal disciple. So the only designation that a devotee has is, he is a servant of his spiritual master. That is the only glory that we carry. Right? And he is also giving credit to the people who are working under him. Right, with the cooperation of my disciples in America. He is giving credit to his successors and his predecessors. Right? He is not taking any credit for himself. So that is the mood in which we do any service in the Krishna consciousness process. And that's the mood of our Acharya in writing these books. So we can attempt to imbibe this mood. Even if we happen to become a devotee or a scholar in future, so we need to have the consciousness to claim that we are not scholars, we are not devotees, but we are just servants of our spiritual master. Right. So we'll begin the 8th canto. So 8th canto, the prominent theme is Manvantara. Manvantara means the reign of Manus. Manus are the fathers of mankind, or the main progenitors, right, of certain period of time during Brahmaji's day. So the first Manu was Swayambhu Manu. So we have discussed the appearance of Swayambhu Manu in the 3rd canto, if you remember. So Brahmaji, from his body, Swayambhu Manu and Satarupa came. Right, you remember? From the 3rd canto, Swayambhu Manu and Satarupa, they came from his body. Then, in more or less in the first 7 cantos, the prominent topics are Swayambhu Manu's, what happened in Swayambhu Manvantara only. Right? So now 8th canto, because the prominent theme is Manvantaras, so he begins with the story of Swayambhu Manu. So his activities are described quite elaborately in the previous cantos. Now his final activities, his renunciation is described. In the 5th canto beginning, there is a mention that Swayambhu Manu gave the charge of the kingdom to Priyavrat, and then he retired. So after he retired, what he has done, that is described in the 8th canto beginning. Then in the 3rd canto, after the marriage of Kapila, after the marriage of Kardammani and Devahuti, the activities of Swayambhu Manu are described. You remember? How he ruled, how he had spent his time in doing Krishna Katha, right, in managing people. So those are all described. So now his final activities are described in the 1st chapter. So then after finishing the description of the Swayambhu Manvantara, so he went to the next Manvantara, 2nd Manvantara, then 3rd Manvantara, then 4th Manvantara. So like that he was discussing. So there are 6 elements in a Manvantara. So he was discussing the 6 elements of each Manvantara. When he came to the 4th Manvantara, Parikshit Maharaj stopped. You have said that in the 4th Manvantara, Lord Hari saved Gajendra from a crocodile. So I want to know that story. So that happens in the ending of the 1st chapter. So the next 3 chapters, 2nd, 3rd and 4th chapters, Sukadeva Goswami describes that story of Gajendra elaborately. After describing Gajendra's story, he will begin again 5th Manvantara. Right? Then he goes to 6th Manvantara. So in the 6th Manvantara, Samudra Manthan episode has happened. Right? He mentions that. Then Parikshit Maharaj expresses his inquisitiveness to hear about Samudra Manthan. So next 7 chapters or 8 chapters are dedicated for this Samudra Manthan episode. Right, 8.5 to 12. So that 6th Manvantara activities are completed. Then he discusses the 7th Manvantara. Then all the future Manvantaras. There are 14 Manvantaras in a day of Brahma. So after 7th Manvantara, he discusses all the future Manvantaras also. Now we are in 7th Manvantara. So after completing all the description, then Sukadeva Goswami describes the job profiles, job descriptions of the 6 elements of Manvantara. Manu, Manuputra, then Indra and all the demigods, and there is Avatar and the sages. So these are the 6 elements. So he discusses the job profiles of all the 6 elements. Then in a future Manvantara, Bali will become Indra. That's what he mentions in the 8th Manvantara. Then Bali's activity he very briefly mentions. He gave 3 steps of land. Okay. Then Parikshit Maharaj says, oh, you said Bali, who would become the Indra in future Manvantara, he has done something with Vamandev. I want to know about that story. So then next 8-9 chapters, Sukadeva Goswami describes the entire episode of Vamandeva and Bali Maharaj. Right? So that is the that is till the 23rd chapter, 8.15 to 23. So after this, Sukadeva Goswami, Parikshit Maharaj says, you have discussed how Vamandev, how the Supreme Lord took the form of a small dwarf baby, right? Dwarf Vamana, Vamandev and performed some great act of becoming Trivikrama and then covering entire universe. He has become so gigantic. Similarly, the Supreme Lord has taken another incarnation, which is the form of an insignificant fish, right? And later he became gigantic, like Vamandev, Matsyavatar, right? Vamandev, the Supreme Lord came in the form of Vamandev, a dwarf Brahmana, and he became so huge. Then Matsya also, he came in the form of an insignificant fish and he became so huge, right? So I want to know about that avatar. Then in the last chapter, Sukadeva Goswami describes the Matsya avatar. So this is a brief outline of the 8th canto. Now we will go for a detailed outline. So this is there in your chapters, we have already discussed it. In your overview notes, this chart is there. Now we'll discuss the first chapter. So in the first chapter, it's so blur. How come? Just do. Vidyapeeth projector? Fine. So in the first chapter, Parikshit Maharaj asks these questions that I have heard about the dynasty of Swayambhu Manu. Now I want to hear about the other Manu's dynasties also. That was the question of Parikshit Maharaj in the beginning of the 8th canto. So I want to hear, I'm very eager to hear about the Janma and Karma of the Supreme Lord in various Manvantaras, because Lord appears in various Manvantaras. Recently we were discussing this avataras, Sanatan Siksha. Right. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu makes a calculation. In a day of Brahma, we have 14 Manvantaras. In a month of Brahma, we have 14 into 3. 14 into 30 Manvantaras. How much is that? 420. Huh? 420. And in a year of Brahma, that much into whatever, 365. I think there are 5040 Manvantaras. And in a life of Brahma, so there are like 100 years. So that into 100. So 5,4,000, something like that. So these many Manvantara incarnate, Manvantara avatars are there in one life of Brahma within one universe. Like that, there are millions of universes, unlimited universes. So how many Manvantara incarnations are there? Each universe will have this kind of calculation only, right? There are millions of Manvantara avatars. So it's not possible to count all of them. So he is very eager to hear about the Janma and Karma of all various Manvantara avataras. So please describe the Lord's activities in the past, present and future Manvantaras. This is the question. This is the seed question for the entire 8th canto. Till 23rd chapter. Then Sukadeva Goswami begins narrating about Swayambhu Manu's renunciation and his austerity. Before describing the next Manvantaras, he first describes the first Manvantara and what happened to the first Manu. What are his later activities? So he said, in the present Kalpa, 6 Manus have already passed and I have already described the first Manu, Swayambhu Manu, and from him many demigods and the Jivas appeared, and he had 2 daughters, Akuti and Devahuti. He had 3 daughters, Akuti, Devahuti, Prasuti. So his first daughter, Akuti's son is Yajnamurti, Devahuti's son is Kapila. And Kapila's activities are already elaborately discussed in the 3rd canto. So now he wants to describe about the Yajnapati's activities. He is the son of Akuti. So Swayambhu Manu renounced. He was actually detached by nature and he entered the forest with his wife after he renounced. So even when he was in his bungalow, in his palace also he was detached. So Swayambhu Manu stood on one leg on the bank of Sunanda. So, and he was doing austerities for 100 years. Then he recites some prayers. These are something like Upanishadic prayers. So, the gist of the prayers is mentioned here, that the Supreme Lord is the creator and he is not the created. So, when everything is silent, means the creation has not yet happened. The dissolution happened and everything merged into the Supreme Lord's body and everything is silent. The material cosmic manifestation has not happened. It's like the whole day there is an activity. In the night, in GEV, say auditorium is there. Now here some class is happening, there some class is happening, there some class is happening. Night you come here, everything is silent. Then one person is witness, watchman. That is Supreme Lord here. So Supreme Lord is awake in silence also. Awake after the cosmic annihilation also. He is the witness. And he is the knower. He cannot be known so easily. Then the super soul is omnipresent. He accepts. One should accept one's quota only. This is something like Isopanishad. Ishavasyamidam sarvam verse. Right? Then the Supreme Lord is, Lord sees everything, but he is not seen. So one has to worship him as the super soul, friend of soul. Then he has no designations and dualities. Right? He is all pervasive. And the Lord is everything, but he is aloof from everything. He is everywhere, everything, but he is not attached to anything. So the sages bring one from karma to akarma. So karma is some fruitive activity, akarma is non-fruitive activity. Activity that is not meant for one's own personal sense gratification. So to give a highest devotional purport to it, it is devotional service. Then Lord acts as the creator, maintenance and destroyer, yet he is not entangled. Although the Lord is involved in some material activities, material creation, maintenance of this material creation, and destruction of this material universe, still he is not entangled. Right? When we create, we maintain some things, we get attached to it. We get entangled by some modes. But he is not like that. So there is no bondage for him. So everyone should follow the Lord. That is the conclusion that Swayambhu Manu has mentioned. So Swayambhu Manu is the original man. We are all men because we are descendants of Manu. So he is offering so many prayers to the Supreme Lord and concluding that everyone should follow the Lord. Means all of us should follow the Supreme Lord. Na tasya kaschit tapasa vidyayava na yoga viryena manishayava na ivartha dharmaihi paratasvatova kritam vihantam tanubhrit vibhuyat. By any means, right, tapasa, vidyaya, yoga, virya, manisha, whatever it may be, you cannot deny the orders of the Supreme Lord. One has to follow the instructions of the Supreme Lord. Yasya anuvrutya krutino bhavuvima. Only by following the instructions of the Supreme Lord, one will attain any success. If one violates the instructions of the Supreme Lord, one will not attain any success. So everyone should follow the Lord. That is the conclusion brought out by Manu. Next. So that is about the final activities of Swayambhu Manu. Now, the activities of Lord Yajna, he has to cover. And they are in relation with Lord Manu's final activities. That is mentioned now. So Swayambhu Manu, while he was offering these prayers and he was doing his austerities, he was in trance. He was chanting these Upanishadic mantras. So some hungry rakshasas came. They wanted to devour Swayambhu Manu, thinking that he was a helpless man. Then the Lord Yajna, he came. He was accompanied by his sons, Yamas and demigods. So he killed all these demons, right, who were attacking Swayambhu Manu. That was his main activity. And he occupied the post of Indra also. So that was the activity of Yajna. So, yeah, these are the six elements. Manvantaram, Manurdeva, Manuputra, Sureshwarah, Rishayom Shavatarasya Hare Shadvidam Uchyate. So Manvantara, in a Manvantara, Manur. There is Manu, Deva, demigods, Manuputra, sons of Manu, Sureshwaraha, the king of demigods, that is Indra. Then Rishayo, there are seven prominent sages. Amshavatara, there is a Manvantara avatara. All these are Swamsha avataras. So Swamsha has six categories. You know, Lord's Swamsha category of incarnations, they have six subcategories. One of them is Manvantara avatara. Purusha avatara, Guna avatara, Leela avatara, all this. So these are Shadvidam Uchyate. These are all considered to be partial incarnations of the Supreme Lord, all the six elements of Manvantara. Then Sukadeva Goswami gives this beautiful description of the six elements of all these Manvantaras. In the first Manvantara, Manu is Swayambhuva, Manu Putra is Uttanapada and Priyavrat, then demigods are the Yamas, then Indra is Yajna, the Supreme Lord himself took the post of Yajna. Then all the seven sages are headed by Marichi. Then the Lord's incarnation, he is also Yajna, and Kapila also is considered Manvantara incarnation for the first Manvantara. And his activity is, as Kapila, he preached religion and knowledge. As Yajna, he killed the demons and he occupied the post of Indra. So like that, there was a description of the first Manvantara. And in the second Manvantara, the Manu was Svarochisha Manu. He is the son of Agni. And demigods are Tushitas, and remaining details are there. So you are familiar with this table. So third Manvantara, Manu is Uttama. Then fourth Manvantara is Tamasa. Fifth Manvantara, Raivata. Sixth Manvantara, Chakshusha. So these are all various Manvantaras. So Sukadeva Goswami described his first Manvantara, first, second, and third, and fourth Manvantaras in the first chapter. And he mentioned that in the fourth Manvantara, Lord Hari, who was the son of Harini and Harimedha, so he became the, he protected Gajendra from a crocodile. Then Parikshit Maharaj has a question. Oh, Lord protected Gajendra from the crocodile. I want to hear about the deliverance of Gajendra. So please describe that. So Sukadeva Goswami felt encouraged. He offered respects to the king and spoke with great pleasure. That was the second chapter. So first, Sukadeva Goswami gives a description of the Trikuta mountain. So Trikuta mountain was there. So it was surrounded by a milk ocean. And the height, length and breadth are given 10,000 yojanas. And there are three principal peaks of the Trikuta mountain. So there are Iron Peak, Silver Peak and Golden Peak. Right? So they beautify the sky. Then other peaks are there. They are full of jewels and minerals. So like that, he gives a beautiful description of the Trikuta mountain. There were waterfalls and always washed by the ground at the foot of the mountain. It is always washed by the waves of milk, and that produces emeralds in all eight directions. And the caves in that place were filled with heavenly residents, right? They go there and then enjoy there. And the resounding vibrations of singing, and lions also roar with pride and envy, thinking that there is another lion there, like that. So there are valleys, there are lakes and rivers, and there is a garden in the Trikuta mountain area. There is a garden called Ritumat garden. This garden belonged to the devotee, great devotee Varunadev. So it's the sporting place for many demigod damsels, right? So there were so many flower trees, fruit trees on the bank of the lake there. And there were birds and animals in the lake. There were intoxicated bumblebees. There were chirping birds, right? And the water was decorated with lotus pollen, and it agitated the tortoises and fish there. So like that, he very beautifully discusses the Ritumat garden, right? So now the hero enters, Gajendra. So Gajendra enters this Ritumat garden lake. So there is Trikuta mountain, there is a Ritumat garden there, and there is a lake there, right? So Gajendra enters. He was not alone. He was with his wives, right? Female elephants, so many are there. Then while entering the forest, so this is to keep all of you awake. So many images are seen. There is some quiz also in the middle. Okay. So his power, wealth and career are seen. So he broke so many plants and creepers and then trees, right, not caring for the piercing thorns. He was so powerful, thorn cannot do anything. So with his influence is that simply by catching the scent of Gajendra, all animals would flee in fear. Right? His prestige is that by his mercy, animals like insignificant animals like jackals and foxes and many other small animals, they loitered elsewhere. Right? By his mercy, they were fearless. Because Gajendra was merciful to them and not attacking them. That's why they were surviving. That's the point. Then, recreation, vacation and intoxication. He was surrounded by so many other elephants. He made the whole Trikuta mountain area tremble because of the body weight. Gajendra, that's how powerful he was. And he was perspiring, and liquor dripped from his mouth. His vision was overwhelmed. He was like, eyes were reeling. Like that, surrounded by bumblebees who drank honey. He smelled the dust of lotuses in the lake. There was breezes. And then somehow he arrived at the bank of this Ritumat Garden lake, which was filled with so many lotuses. So he entered the lake and he bathed thoroughly. He was relieved of fatigue and he drank that water, and he was taking care of his children. He was having some family sports there in the water. So suddenly a crocodile attacked his leg, not the trunk, as the image shows. So all the wives were sorry. They started crying. They could not do anything to protect him, but they cried. So other elephants could not rescue him, right? So they fought. This crocodile and Gajendra fought. They pulled one another in and out of the water for 1,000 years. All the demigods were surprised. How come an elephant and crocodile were fighting for 1,000 years? Right? Nobody is winning the game. Right? But crocodile being a water animal, it was very comfortable in the water to fight with even mighty elephant like Gajendra. But Gajendra being a land animal, it did not have any strength to defend himself like that. His mind became weak. His senses became less powerful. His bodily strength diminished. Right? So crocodile, it was getting such sensual encouragement. Right? Within the water, it is getting nourished. Like that. So at this point, Gajendra started introspecting in great humility. So Gajendra, circumstantially, he was helpless. He could not save himself, and none of the people who were standing on the banks of the river, the lake, they could not protect. So in this calamity, in this attack, he started contemplating. None of the other elephants could rescue me. So it must be the will of the providence. I will seek the Supreme Lord's help. Right? So that is the defense now. So only the Supreme Personality of Godhead can protect me from the fear of time. So fear is fearful of the Supreme Lord. Let me surrender unto him. That was the devotional contemplation that Gajendra had. But Gajendra was not thinking of the name of the Supreme Lord. There must be some Supreme Lord, right? There must be some Supreme Personality of Godhead who can ultimately protect me. I will pray to him like that. So that is the second chapter. So we will go to the third chapter, which is prayers. So Mukund Mala Prabhu told me to take this prayers part little more elaborately, not like overview. So actually, we feel grateful to people when we receive some favor from people. Will you feel grateful to someone who has not done anything to you? It's generally not the case. So that is the theme of gratitude in this material world. But, and also, the extent of our reciprocation towards a person depends on how grateful we are to him. And our gratitude towards that person depends on the extent of the favor that he has done for us. So it's like, I receive this much benefit, I become this grateful, and I also try to reciprocate with that much. At the max, it is like that. Right? But, see Krishna's gratitude. Gajendra, in his previous life, he must have done some worship, some service, some devotional service in his previous life. So Lord has become so grateful to Gajendra that at this point, when he was in greatest difficulty, he was giving an opportunity to Gajendra to remember him. The best reward that one can receive is the remembrance of the Supreme Lord in a greatest calamity. Gajendra was in the greatest calamity, and Krishna gave the Gajendra that reward. Take this reward of remembrance of my lotus feet. That's what Gajendra does now. That is the reward of remembrance, as Prabhupada says. So Gajendra starts offering prayers. Om Namo Bhagavate Tasmai Yata Etat Chidatmakam Purushayadi Bijaya Pareshaya Abhidimahi. So first prayer was, I am the cause of all. Gajendra is saying, the Supreme Lord is the cause of all causes. Because, Om Namo Bhagavate Tasmai Yata Etat Chidatmakam. Etat, means this entire cosmic manifestation, right? Chit Atmakam. It's no longer this body or whatever. It's no longer material but spiritual. Chit Atmakam means pure devotee's body is spiritual, like that. Then Purushaya, he is the Supreme Lord, he is not impersonal. Then Pareshaya, he is the Parameshwara, he is the Supreme Controller. So like that in various ways, he glorifies the Lord. The central theme is, the Lord is the cause of all causes. Then second prayer, Gajendra emphasizes the Supreme Energy. Lord is the cause and the cause of the ingredients of this universe. What is that? In the second canto we read how Lord is the, what is the verse? Narada Muni asks Brahmaji, what is it? Yad rupam yad adhishtanam yata srishtam. I'm asking the verse. Yata srishtam idam prabhu, right? Yat param yat samstam cha, right? Vadan tattvataha, like that. Tattvam vadanti tattva, something like that he says. So there basically he asks six questions, right? What are the characteristics of the universe? So what are the, after the six questions, last question is yatcha. What are the ingredients of the universe? What is this universe composed of? So in response to that, Brahmaji describes the whole universal form. Right, you remember how Lord is the material cause and efficient cause of this universe, how Brahmaji collected all the ingredients for the making of this universe from Lord Garbhodaksha Vishnu's body. So that's why Lord is the supreme energy, and all the universe's ingredients are coming from Lord's body only. That is supreme energy. Then beautiful analogies are given, how the universe is the Lord, pot, earth. Analogies you must have studied in your regular classes. Then fourth verse he says, supreme energetic. He creates, he annihilates, he is the supreme cause and the result, yet he remains aloof. He is just an observer. Upadrishta anumanta. Asakta vivikta sakshine. He is just a sakshi, witness of everything. Then fifth verse, he glorifies the Lord as transcendental. He is above the darkness of the universal annihilation. Right, kalena panchattam iteshu krutsnaso means when at the time of annihilation, when everything is destroyed, everything became dark, the Lord exists beyond the darkness of the universal annihilation. That's why he is transcendental. Who can exist beyond everything? Right, everything is annihilated, but he is remaining. Means he is beyond this universe also. Entire universe got merged, entire universe got annihilated, but he is still there. That's why he is called transcendental. Then, that is the first four verses. Now, first four means say, 2, 3, 4, 5 verses. First verse is not a part of the prayer. Then in the sixth and seventh verses, Gajendra says about understanding Krishna. Right? Na yasya deva rishayah param vidur jantuh punah kor hati gantu miritum. This supreme personality of Godhead, right? Even the great sages and demigods cannot understand him. How can an animal like me understand? Right? Jantur punah ko rahati gantu mirhitum. How can an animal understand? Same thing our Kunti Maharani also said. Right? So, katam pashyema hi striyaha. How can stri, woman, understand you? Like that. Same humility he is also expressing. So, yatha natasya kritibhir vicheshtito. Because the Lord's movements are like an artist's movements. On the stage, artist is doing something, right? Ordinary people cannot figure out. You know, some children are sitting, so on the stage somebody is coming in the form of a tiger or something. He does like this. Children get afraid, right? They cannot realize that it's not a real tiger, it is a fake tiger only, and he's acting only. So like that, they get bewildered. Similarly, when the Lord is taking the role of a human being or in various other forms, he's performing so many pastimes, ordinary conditioned souls will get bewildered. They cannot understand him. Even demigods cannot understand him. Brahma got bewildered. Indra got bewildered. Even sages cannot understand him. Right? How can an animal understand? Then, who is qualified to understand? A person who has equal vision. That is the first verse that we recite every day. Didrukshavo yasya padam sumangalam vimukta sangha manayasu sadhavaha. Who is qualified to see the Lord? Didrukshavo yasya padam sumangalam vimukta sangha means one who is totally detached. Right? Munayaha susadhavaha charanta lokavratamavranam vane bhutatma bhuta suhrudasamegatihi. Flawless practitioners of devotional vows. Such people can see. Now, a question, Lord may ask a question. Are Gajendra, to attain the Lord, you said you should have equal vision. Then how do you expect the Lord to kill one and protect another? Who can see the Lord? One who has equal vision. Right? In the seventh verse he said, Vimukta Sangha, then Charantyalokavratam, Bhutatma Bhuta Suhurda Samegatihi. It's like the equal vision aspect is emphasized so much as a qualification to see the Lord. Now what is Gajendra's expectation? Lord, you come and protect me and kill this fellow. Kill this crocodile. So to attain the Lord, one has to have equal vision. How can you expect the Lord to show some partiality? He should also have equal vision. How can he be partial to Gajendra and kill this crocodile? That was the question. Lord's question. Then Gajendra gives another series of beautiful verses. That is appearance of the Supreme Lord. 8 to 12. First he explains about the place of appearance. Right? Where does he appear? There are two categories there. External appearance and internal appearance. So external appearance means he appears in the material world. Sometimes as a human being. But without any material name or form. So he appears like that. Then internally he also appears as the super soul. Right, in the heart and enlightens the soul. This is the appearance, external and internal appearance of the Lord. That is the place of appearance. Then the process by which the Lord appears. Right? So the process of understanding the Lord or process by which one can make the Lord appear is Bhakti Yoga. By Bhakti Yoga he appears. Then what are the various forms in which he appears? Right? Namashantaya, Ghoraya, Moodhaya, Gunadharmine, Nirvisheshaya, Samyaya, Namo Jnana Ghanaya. So he appears sometimes as a Shanta, right? Sometimes as a Ghora, like Narsingadeva or someone. Sometimes as a Moodhaya, like a Farahadeva or someone. So like that, there are different forms in which the Lord appears. So this is about the appearance of the Lord. You can appear anyway, right? Next, why the Lord has to appear? Because generally whenever he appears, the constant theme or the background behind Lord's appearance is certain quality of the Lord. So Gajendra describes various qualities of the Lord. First he glorifies him as Supreme Father. Lord, you are the Supreme Father. Kshetrajnaya namastubhyam sarvadhyakshaya sakshine. Purushaya Atma Mulaya Mula Prakritaya Namaha. So Kshetrajnaya Namastubhyam means you are the origin of the material world. Right? You are the owner of all bodies in this world. Right? That's why you are Supreme Father. Next, you are the Supreme Director. So as a director, what do? You observe. Right? Sarvendriya Gunadrashte Sarva Pratyaya Hetave. Sarva Indriya Gunadrashte. You are the observer of the all objectives of senses of every single personality. Sarva indriya guna drishte. I have so many indriyas and all of us put together have so many indriyas. Where are our indriyas running behind? Drishte. Lord is the witness of all that runnings, running competitions. One indriya is running behind another object, sense object for some indriya trupti. Right, Lord witnesses that. Are these fellow's eyes are running behind that beautiful object. This fellow's ears are running behind this beautiful music. Right, this fellow's, this indriya is running behind that. This fellow's tongue is running behind, you know, tasting some meat. So, sarvendriya guna drashti. Then, sarva pratyaya hetave. Then, asata chaya yoktaya sadabhasaya te namaha. He observes. He directs, he reminds us, and he orchestrates, right? And he creates things for us. So, even simpler way is, he observes all our activities and he sanctions our desires and he facilitates also. That's why he is called Supreme Director. Then in the 15th verse, Gajendra says, you are the supreme cause. Right? What is that verse? 15th verse. Namo namaste akhila karanaya. So Lord is akhila karanaya, means the cause of all causes. Namo namaste akhila karanaya nishkaranaya, but he doesn't have a cause. He causes everything and he doesn't have a cause. Adbhuta karanaya, that's why he is wonderful cause. He causes everything but he doesn't have a cause, that's why he is wonderful cause. Nishkaranaya adbhuta karanaya sarva agama amnaya maharanavaya. Sarva agama means all Vedas, the Vedic scriptures. Sarva agama amnaya maharanavaya. Aranava means ocean. A big ocean is there and all the scriptures are like rivers flowing into that ocean. Means by studying all the scriptures, one has to culminate in the understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One has to reach this understanding that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. He is the ultimate culmination or the source of all rivers. That's why it's called Sarva Agama Arnaya Maharanavaya. This is clear? That's what Veda is saying. Sarva Rahamaya Vedo, he says. You study all Vedas and I am to be known. Same thing is Sarva Agama Amnaya Maharanavaya. Namo Apavargaya Parayanaya. So he is the one and only shelter of all those who are desiring that liberation or that shelter. Like that. Then 16th, he glorifies the Lord as the supreme revealer of knowledge. Because in the 15th verse, he mentioned about Sarvagamamnaya Maharanavaya. But as an elephant, Gajendra doesn't have access to Vedas. Right? Although through agamas, one can reach the Lord. But Gajendra is an animal. How can he know agamas? So Lord himself has to reveal that knowledge to him. So Gajendra prays now. You are the supreme revealer of knowledge. You don't have to see my qualification. I am an animal. I cannot go read the agamas. How can you reach me? You are supreme revealer. Gunarni, gunarni channa chidusmapaya tat kshobha vispurjita manasaya naishkarmya bhavena vivarjita agama swayam prakashaya namaskarumi. He is swayam prakashaya. If he desires, he can directly appear in the minds of pure devotees who neglect all kinds of Vedic regulations. And when an advanced devotee is there, he need not follow the protocols of Vedic rules and regulations. Still, Lord reveals himself to him. He is the supreme revealer of all knowledge. Gopis, they have all knowledge. They have not studied in some Vedic schools or Vidyapeeths, etc. But they have entire knowledge of Vedas. They know the essence of knowledge. So that's why he is Swayam Prakashaya Namaskarumi. Now, finally he says, you reveal yourself. Then in the 17th verse he says, you are supremely merciful also.
Madruk prapanna pashupasha vimokshanaya muktaya bhuri karunaya namolayaya Swamsena sarvatanu bhrinmanasi pratita prakyadushe bhagavate brihate namaste. So Lord is supremely merciful. So all these detailed notes we have already discussed. Yeah, this one. So Lord is muktaya. Lord is untouched by the contamination of material nature. That's why he is vimokshanaya. Because he is not bound by material nature, he can release your bondage from material nature. Because he is muktaya, he is vimokshanaya. Then, he is bhuri karunaya, he is unlimitedly merciful. So, he is alayaya. He is never inattentive to the needs or requirements of his devotee. He is always attentive to their needs. That's why he is called alayaya. Then, swamshena, he has one amsha, that is paramatma. Because in his plenary expansion, he is Paramatma, he is Pratyak Drishe, he is the direct observer of all everybody's activities. Then Brihate, because he is unlimited, he is Bhagavan, Supreme Lord. So for all these reasons, my Lord, you are supremely merciful. So you should show some mercy on me. Then Lord might ask, why didn't you take shelter from me before only? because of obstacles I could not take shelter. What were those obstacles? They are my material attachments, which become an obstacle in my approach towards you. What are those obstacles? What are those attachments? Atmatma japta grahavitta jineshu sakteir dushprapanaya gunasanga vivarjitaya mukta atma bhisvahridaye paribhavitaya jnanatmane bhagavate nama ishwaraya. So Lord is uncontaminated by moods. He is apapaviddham. So all these material attachments, right? Atma, one's body, right? Atmatma, japta, griha, vitta, jineshu, sattair. Sattair means being so attached to all these household paraphernalia and family members and furniture, car, bungala, etc. All this will act as dushprapanaya gunasanga vivarjitaya. So dushprapanaya means it's extremely difficult for someone to approach the Supreme Lord, right? To attain the Supreme Lord because of this material attachments. So Lord is gunasanga vivarjitaya, and if someone is so absorbed in this gunasanga, how can he attain the Lord? Like that. So muktatma bhi sahrudaye paribhavitaya. So if, and the Lord is muktatma, right? He is liberated. He is not entangled by anything. So to approach him, one should also give up all his entanglements. So these are all various material attachments that block one's attaining the Supreme Lord. So finally, he says, what is the impetus for my shelter? Right? What is the impetus for me to take your shelter? So there are two kinds of people. There are sakama bhaktas. Their impetus is dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Right? Because of that only, they take shelter of the Supreme Lord. And there is another category of people. They are nishkama bhaktas. Ekantino yasya na kanchanartham vanchanti evai bhagavat prapanna atyadbhutam tacharitam sumangalam gayanta ananda samudra magna tamaksharam brahma paramparesham avyaktam adhyatmika yoga gamyam atindriyam sukshmam ivati duram anantamadyam paripurna mide. So there are nishkama bhaktas. They have absolutely no desire other than serving the Supreme Lord. Then vanchanti evai bhagavat prapanna. They are completely surrendered to the Supreme Lord. No other desire other than service. Then second, full surrender. Third, total dedication to hearing and chanting. Right? So, atyadbhutam tacharitam sumangalam gayanta ananda. They happily describe the Lord's activities. That is their job profile. That is the impetus for them to take shelter of the Lord. No other material desire. So, now, yeah, you are saying that the impetus for nishkama bhaktas is that they have no other desire. But how come you are asking for protection? Gajendra says, no, I am in danger now. So, unalloyed devotees can do like that, but I am in a danger. So, I am desiring liberation from this. Then, Gajendra glorifies the Supreme Lord's potencies, right? What all the Lord creates, that he mentions, that he creates the Vedic knowledge, Brahma, and different bodies, gross bodies, subtle bodies, elements, so many things he creates. And what the Lord is not, right? Savaina devasura martya tiryan. Lord doesn't belong to any of these categories of deva or asura or martya or tiryan or whatever, right? He is transcendental to all of this. Then, later, finally, in the last section, Gajendra offers his prayers for shelter. I want liberation from ignorance. I do not wish to live anymore. Even after getting released from this crocodile bondage, I don't want to live anymore. I want liberation from ignorance. So I cannot perform bhakti, so I am offering obeisances to you wherever I see you in the universe. So I am just desiring release from material life. Unlike me, the yogis burn up karma by bhakti. Bhakti yogis are purified and I don't have bhakti. So I have so many obstacles in thinking of you in my heart. And you are unapproachable to those who are not sense-controlled. And I am not sense-controlled. So in this illusory bodily concept of life, the jiva forgets his real identity. So I want to
So like that, in various ways, he devotionally contemplated. These are bird's eye view of the entire set of prayers, which you have memorized and reproduced in your exams. So like that, Gajendra offered various beautiful prayers to the Lord. So Gajendra's prayers invoked Lord Hari. And Gajendra did not take any name. I am offering this prayer to so-and-so, so-and-so, like that. But Acharyas give a purport. In that verse, Madhrik prapanna pashupasha vimokshanaya muktaya bhuri karunaya namolayaya swamsena sarvat anubhran manasi pratita pratyagdrishe bhagavate brahate. That bhagavate brahate actually indicates Krishna. Madhvacharya, I think he gives this comment. Bhagavate brahate, actually, who is Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam? Who is Bhagavan Swayam? Krishna only. That's why this Bhagavate Brahate also indicates Krishna only. Although apparently he did not take anybody's name, but the description that he has given actually refers to Krishna only. Acharyas give this commentary. So Gajendra's prayers did not invoke any demigods. Lord Hari himself came. Why demigods did not come? Because demigods were thinking that this fellow never called us. He is calling for some supreme lord, and we are not the supreme lords. Definitely, they are aware of their position at least. But they were offended that this fellow did not call us. He is calling some supreme lord. And it's not easy for the supreme lord to come all the way to deliver this insignificant animal. And this animal will die. Right? Like that, some kind of offensive thoughts entered the minds of all these demigods. So they did not come to rescue Gajendra. So Gajendra, but Supreme Lord is not indifferent. So he came running. His dhoti was falling off and Garuda was very slow, right? So he had to carry Garuda on his top and then come somehow. And then later he went on the back of Garuda. So somehow he came and protected the elephant. And all the demigods realized their mistake. Are we thought that the Lord will not come to rescue. And we were offended that we were not called for this purpose. So they felt little embarrassed and then they all came. Right? So as the Lord, as Gajendra saw the Lord appearing towards him, he picked up a lotus from that pond and offered it to the Lord. Like that. See in this painting, you can see. So Lord pulled Gajendra out and killed the crocodile. So then so much of praise happened and flowers showered by the demigods. Then crocodile regained his form as a Gandharva. So he was cursed by Devala Rishi. Then Gajendra, he was Indradyumna in his previous life. So he was cursed by Agastya Rishi. So when great personalities curse, that is also a blessing in disguise. So Prabhupada stresses on these elements. How the curses of great devotees is also like a blessing. Like that. So Gajendra's body was touched by the Lord. Right? Lord pulled Gajendra from the lake. Right? So he received Sarupya Mukti. And the other fellow, who is that crocodile, so he became a Gandharva. So Gajendra was a Vaishnava king of Pandya. He was named Indradyumna, South Indian. So he was detached, Jatadhara. He was doing austerities, tapasa. He was in ecstasy, apluto. He was absorbed in ecstasy of the love of Godhead. He was doing perfect worship, samarchayantam. Then he was doing worship to the perfect object, that is Achyuta. Then he was doing manavrata. He was self-controlled. So these are the six ornaments of Indradyumna. But Agastya Muni came when Indradyumna was absorbed in his meditation. Then he couldn't, because he was absorbed in his own austerity, he could not notice Agastya Muni coming. Then Agastya Muni cursed Indradyumna. He saw four mistakes, four doshas or drawbacks or shortcomings in Indradyumna. They are that he is asadhu, not gentle. He is duratma, degraded. He is akrita, uneducated. He is offensive. Vipra avamana. When a sage comes, you have to receive him properly. And he's indifferent. He was in his own world. So, observing all these kind of discrepancies in the character of Indradyumna, Agastya Muni cursed him. to become an animal in the next life. So, but Indrajumna's attitude was very exemplary. His experience was that he received curses, he had reverses and difficulties in the life, and his analysis, Prabhupada writes all this in the purport, analysis was of a devotee is that nothing can happen without the Lord's desire. If I have to become an animal, that is Lord's desire only. And also it is because of my past misdeeds. Tatyanukampam susamikshamanam bhunjana eva atmakratam vipakam. So although it is due to my past deeds or it's a punishment, it's an unpleasant situation, still I consider this as a blessing of the Supreme Lord. Right? It's Lord's will and it's Lord's blessing. And what is the response after analyzing the situation like this? He welcomes the curse. Although there is no fault on his side. I was doing meditation. He can fight for justice. But if you seek justice, you lose shelter. So in Vaishnava circles, mercy gets more prominence than justice. Are he got this treatment and I am getting this treatment. What is this? You can't fight for justice in Vaishnava circles. Mercy. You should be happy that, oh, this person got so much of mercy. Right? I am happy seeing his advancement in devotional service. That's how another devotee feels. Seeing the success of another devotee. Right? Not envy. Not justice. I am also doing the same thing. That you never glorified me. You are glorifying him left, right, center. You are chastising me. So that is justice seeking. With a tinge of envy there. But Vaishnava is not like that. Instead of being agitated, he continues his activities of devotional service. So the response to a calamity is not giving up the process. The response to calamity is continuing the process. Tolerate and proceed. So this is the formula that you need to remember throughout your devotional life. Tolerate and proceed with devotional service. Tolerate what? Calamities, reverses, difficulties, insults, right? Lack of resources, right? So many difficulties and shortcomings, tolerate. And proceed with your devotional service with full sincerity, like that. So Krishna takes care of such a person. What is the result of this kind of attitude? Krishna takes care of him. And he enables to be promoted to the spiritual world. He goes back to Godhead. If a devotee has to suffer reactions of past misdeeds, Supreme Lord arranges. Right? He gives a token reaction to all of them. So very soon he will be freed from that material contamination. Right? So our duty is to always adhere to the process of devotional service. Right? And not to be disturbed by some unfortunate circumstances. So Gajendra, after getting delivered by the Supreme Lord, he goes back to Godhead. So the Phalastuti of this episode, Lord himself says, four benefits of hearing this episode. Promotion to higher planets, reputation as a great devotee, immunization from the contamination of Kali Yuga, protection that he will never even see bad dreams also. So these are certain benefits or Phalastuti of hearing this episode. So Lord was pleased and Lord himself said, morning and night one should concentrate on the concentrate mind upon this episode, right? He should offer the prayers offered by Gajendra. So, like that, Lord said. That is the end of the Gajendra episode. So, where were we? Where did this episode come? In the fourth Manvantara, the activity of Lord Hari. That's where we are. So, now we will go to the fifth Manvantara. So, fifth Manvantara, the Manu is Raivata. Right? And the sixth Manu is Chakshusha. So in the sixth Manvantara, the Lord's incarnation came in the form of Ajita, son of Vairaja and Deva Sambhuti. And what was his activity? He produced nectar for the demigods by churning the milk ocean. So now Parikshit Maharaj becomes inquisitive. Oh, why did the Lord churn the milk ocean? And how did he churn the milk ocean? Why did he stay in the water as a tortoise and held up this mountain of Mandara? How did the demigods obtain nectar? Right? What other things are produced in the churning of this milk ocean? I am very
inquisitive to hear all this. I'm not yet satiated by hearing about the Lord. So he was very inquisitive to know. Now, the Lord, Sukadeva Goswami responds, right? Once, Durvasa cursed the demigods, right? And because of material opulence, so demigods became very blind, and they offended Durvasa Muni, and they were lost in a fight with the demons, and they became poverty stricken, and they went to Brahmaji and informed, and said, "Hey, we lost all opulence." Then, seeing the demons flourishing and demigods in an awkward position, Brahma meditated on the Lord and spoke to the demigods. Right? So, let's see what he says. The Supreme Lord is the origin of all. Again, he glorifies the Lord. So, he's impartial. But, 7th canto, 1st chapter we have studied, right? Lord is not partial. It's actually time that is favoring either demigods or demons. Because of the influence of time, some modes are becoming prominent, some modes are becoming less prominent. So now, there is a prominence of mode of passion and ignorance, and there is a, you know, the mode of goodness is less prominent, or it's like dominated by the rise of other modes. So time is favoring the demons. So let us approach the Supreme Lord and request him to invoke goodness to maintain the creation. For maintenance, we need goodness. Right? But demigods have taken over, so Lord should help us. So Brahma took all the demigods to the Svetadvipa, right, where the Lord is there. There at Svetadvipa, Brahmaji offered various prayers to the Lord. So he enumerated the qualities of the Lord's form, which are beyond material realm. And he glorified Lord's omniscience, and he mentioned about the wheel of samsara, which has 16 spokes. That is 10 senses, 5 pranas and mind, and 3 naves, naves that are 3 gunas, then 8 rims that are 8 elements. Like this, he mentioned. And the method of surrender is by becoming a dhira, freed from all this influence of 3 modes. Then, he glorified Lord's power, and he said, even we demigods whose bodies are made of goodness cannot understand the Lord. What to speak of those who are in mode of passion and ignorance? Right? It's difficult to understand the Lord. But, we know your form as this gross universe. We may not be able to understand your swarupa or actual character or your actual glory, but we can understand you to some extent by understanding this universe. Right? Later, Brahmaji glorifies the Supreme Lord as this universe, means the universal form. Right? How the material creation rests on his lotus feet, how the moon is the Lord's mind, fire is the mouth of the Lord, sun god is his eye, then vital force of the air, prana, is Lord's original vital force. Like that, Brahmaji describes the universal form. So these are all the description of universal form, which you have studied multiple times. Greed is his lower lip, affection is his upper lip, like that. So Lord is self-satisfied, silent, and free from endeavor. So he is detached from the material world. So, my Lord, please show your original form. Whatever we have discussed, described till now, that is universal form, is actually imaginary, conceptual, right? It's not existing. There is no planet in the spiritual sky of the universal form. Vishwarupa planet. There are so many planets of the Leela Avataras, but we want to show, we want to see your original form. So you are affectionate to your devotees, so please appear before us. By your sweet will, you appear in various incarnations and act wonderfully, performing uncommon activities. Right? So, then devotional activities, even if performed in small measure, will never go in vain. So that is this verse, right? Navama Kramakalpa. When Vishnu is pleased, then everyone is pleased. It's like pouring water on the root. And you are the controller of all the 3 modes of material nature. So please, favor the quality of goodness, so that demigods can flourish. Right? So that is the conclusion of their prayer. They glorified the universal form and devotional activities. And finally, please invoke mode of goodness so that demigods can flourish. So 8.6, the Lord appeared. And the Lord appeared with bodily effulgence equal to, you know, thousands of suns. So they could not even see what's happening. Where is this effulgence coming from? So slowly they saw the Lord, Lord's form behind that effulgence. So there are beautiful verses glorifying the Lord's form. His various decorations on his body, various limbs. Eyes are reddish like a lotus. Garments are yellowish like molten gold. Face is like lotus. So like that, so many comparisons are made. And Lord, then Brahma offered again another set of prayers. Prayers before Lord's appearance, prayers after Lord's appearance. So he's unborn. Lord is unborn. Right? It's our good fortune to be able to worship him. Right? So he is the cause, the support and destination of the material creation. And the Lord is perceived by those who are free of material contamination and those practicing bhakti. Then by bhakti, one gets the Lord's favor. So he gives various analogies for this process of bhakti. So just like one gets fire from wood, milk from cow, grains from land, digging earth to get water and endeavoring in various activities, craft, etc. Similarly, by bhakti, one can attain the Lord. So, Chakravarti Bhat gives beautiful insights into all these analogies you must have studied. So, there is intense happiness upon seeing the Lord. So, next Brahma describes the effect of Lord's darshan on all the demigods. So, like an elephant afflicted by forest fire becomes happy when gets water from Ganges. Similarly, we became relieved of our suffering by taking your darshan, my Lord. You already know our purpose for coming here. Please fulfill it. We need not tell you why we have come here. So please. And before the prayer also, before the Lord appeared also, they mentioned, please invoke goodness so that demigods can flourish. So Lord might ask, what benediction do you want? Right? So what can we understand about our welfare? Please grant us whatever you think is suitable for us. Like that. Divijadeva mantram. So now the Lord says, although Lord is capable of doing things himself, so Lord actually wanted to enjoy the pastimes of Samudra Manthan. Right? So Lord said, please listen to me attentively. You are all comfortable with the flow and pace, right? It's going on okay? So he said, listen to me attentively. If you listen to me, then you will have good fortune. So as long as you are not flourishing, what you need to do? You make a truce with the demigods. Sandhi. Right? Demigods and demons, they are opposite parties. Now you should come together and cooperate for a higher purpose. Right? So they are being favored by time now. So you have no other option. You can make a truce with him. So one has to keep aside one's ego to make truce with a person whom he doesn't like. So even within the devotional circles also, many times ego affects us. We don't show interest in working with some people with whom our mood or our mode does not match. Right? I cannot work with this fellow. My God, such a horrible fellow. Right? So irritating. I cannot work with him. We may not express it, but it's there. There's a lot of inertia to go and meet him or work with him or serve with him or interact with him. There's inertia. But see to what extent the Lord is humbling these demigods. Make a truce with demons. Eternally, these two categories of beings are opposite, against each other. They're enemies. Anytime you see, they're always enemies. Except in the Samudra Manthan episode, did you ever see a demigod and demon sitting there, hi, hello, taking prasad together? No, they're always fighting with each other. Entire Vedic literature, wherever their names are mentioned, they are mentioned along with some fight and conflict only. They want to remove the demigods from the throne and they want to sit. And demigods want to annihilate the demons and then they want to continue to rule or whatever. But Lord is making them come together. For a higher purpose, Samudra Manthan, to get nectar. Similarly, we should also have that inclination to work with other devotees with whom we may not be getting along with each other very nicely to serve the mission of Guru. for a higher purpose. So coming together for a higher purpose is a significant and very prominent theme in the Samudra Manthan episode. So produce nectar to be immortal. Mohini Murthy episode, she distributes nectar. Effect means? They regain their strength and their lifespan, everything. Effect of nectar as such is, anyone recalls? Correct. Mohini Murthy wanted to demonstrate the effect of nectar, the glory of nectar or whatever. So that it went till this throat and this part is alive. This part is gone. So, yeah, that is that. Good point. So Lord says, so you should produce nectar to be immortal. What is that? Put all the ingredients of vegetables, grass, creepers, drugs, etc. into the ocean. So use Mount Mandara as a churning rod, Vasuki as a churning rope. So both parties should labor together to get the result. It is like making a truce between snake and mouse, right? So Lord also gives that analogy. So with patience and peace, everything can be done, not by anger. Right? Patience and peace. Therefore, whatever the demons ask, agree to their proposal. Right? When you are in need of something, you have to agree the unreasonable proposals of the opposite party also. We are in need. Right? So don't fear Kalakuta. Never be greedy. So no fear, no anger, no greed. Right? Lord is giving all these warnings. Demigods very nicely followed all this. Right? So Lord disappeared from their presence. So now carrying out the plan. So Brahma, Shiva, everyone returned. So demigods approached Bali Maharaj. She was the king of the demons. So Bali saw the demigods. And these demigods were not coming to attack. They were not having any militant attitude. So Bali Maharaj said, relax. He told his attendants, his followers, you don't attack them. They are not in a mood to fight. Why you are attacking? Relax. Then demigods approached Bali and sat near him. And after pleasing Bali, Indra very politely submitted proposals. So let's make a truce. Let's work together for producing nectar. Right? So then Bali Maharaj agreed. So the demons and the demigods uprooted Mount Mandara as per the plan given by the Lord. Right? So demigods and demons carried that Mount Mandara, but they were so fatigued, they were unable to carry. So they left it on the way. Then the Lord came. Right? Golden Mandara, which was very heavy. Right? It smashed many of the demons and demigods. They were frustrated. Then the Lord came on Garuda. So he lifted the Mandara mountain and kept it on the back of Garuda. And he lifted all these demigods and demons. So here Lord did not become overexcited. Some demons went. They died without me doing anything. Or even demigods also did not become greedy when the Lord is reviving all these demons and putting on the back of Garuda. Why are you bringing demons? They fell down. Let them fall down. Thoda kam ho gaya. They didn't say like that. So demons and demigods both were, and this Mandara mountain, all came to the spot of milk ocean. Then Garuda unloaded Mount Mandara and Lord asked him to leave. Because next item is Vasuki should come. So Vasuki, a snake, and Garuda, an eagle, both have a natural, rival or conflict. So Lord did not want to do that. So here Garuda's mood of being submissive to the Lord and giving up his personal excitement to see the show. Demigods and demons are doing this churning of milk ocean. Right? It's never to be seen. And Lord is personally orchestrating this thing. So Garuda will have a natural desire to witness the scene. Right? For example, so and so, great personality, Maharaj or someone, the Jayodhat Maharaj is coming. He may be addressing Vidyapits for the first time. But he never addressed earlier. So he was addressing, entire hall is packed with two batches of Vidyapit. And suddenly somebody is picked up and said, no, you, there is some backup. Backup mein koi nahi, jaake ja backup karo. So how will you feel? Arey, first time this is happening. I was given some other service. I was not given an opportunity to attend Jaya Advait Maharaj's class or whatever. So that kind of disappointment may be there. But Garuda was very submissive. Service has to go properly. So let me give preference to the instruction that I received and the service that has to be done. So that is the mood of Garuda. He left. He did not have that. He gave that personal desire to see or whatever. So the milk ocean churning began. So Lord took his multi-role. So demigods and demons promised a share of nectar to Vasuki also and then brought Vasuki. Come, you become the churning rope. We will give you some nectar. So Vasuki came. Then demigods took the front portion of Vasuki. Demons took the tail portion of Vasuki. But later demons felt that, hey, we were so learned. How can we take the tail portion? We need the head portion, that we are so elevated, we are so advanced, we are so educated, right? So we have to take the front portion of the snake, because the back portion, the tail portion of the snake is very inauspicious. Which Veda or which Purana or which scripture it is mentioned, no one knows, but they say that tail portion is very inauspicious. So Lord says, okay, that's what you want, fine. Then we got said, wherever you want us to catch, we will do it. So they went to the tail side. So demigods were churning. Then, because the Mandara mountain was so heavy, it was a milk ocean, and it did not have support, it started sinking. So Lord expanded himself as a tortoise and went below the Mandara mountain and gave it support from the bottom. So while the mountain was being used for churning, so Lord, as Kurma avatar, he felt a sensation of itching, some scratching on his back. That's all he felt. And that weight was not so much. One of his mere expansion, which is Ananta, he was holding the universes on his hoods, and he has to say, kidare, universe kidare? So like that. So one mustard seed falls on our head, how insignificant it is. We may not be able to figure out if it is so small. So, in comparison to Ananta Sesha's size, the universe was like a mustard seed. He was searching where it is. So, if Lord's expansion is like that, what to speak of Kurmavatar, who is the source of this incarnation, Anantadev, and he is holding one mountain only, not the entire universe. So one mountain he is holding. It's insignificant for him. He was feeling some scratching sensation like this. Mandara mountain, like this. So the churning went. Now Lord, to make the whole show very exciting, he entered the demigods and empowered them with goodness, and he empowered the demons with the mode of passion, and he empowered Vasuki with the mode of ignorance. So he empowered them with their respective modes. Right? So Lord, as a thousand handed Sahasrabahu, held the top of the mountain also. Because from bottom he gave support, from top he has to give balance also, right? So he did that with thousand heads. So this is the full thing. So all the powerful alligators were perturbed. So demigods' luster was diminished. So the Lord created some clouds. They were pouring rains, right? Then Vasuki with thousand eyes and mouths breathed smoke. All the demons appeared like Sarala tree burned by a forest, like that. Then the Lord appeared like blackish cloud with yellowish garments. All this are mentioned. So these are the various roles that the Lord played in this Samudra Manthan episode. So he desired Samudra Manthan Leela. He instructed how to do the churning. He came up with the plan. Then he restored the injured demigods and demons when they fell down in Mandara Mountain episode, lifting Mandara Mountain. And he lifted Mandara Mountain by becoming Kurmavatar. Right? He lifted Mandara Mountain and brought all the demigods and everyone to the spot of Milk Ocean with the help of Garuda. And he told Garuda to leave so that Vasuki can come. And he tricked the demons to take the head side of Vasuki, and he manifested as Kurmadeva for supporting. He encouraged the demigods, demons and Vasuki by three modes, and he became Ajita in a thousand-handed form to support the mountain from top. Then he made the clouds to rain and shower some cool breezes. And as Lord Ajita, he also joined the demigods to churn faster. He also, if you see that painting, Lord is also, see, here the Vishnu is also there. Lord is also personally churning. And he gave all credit to Shiva. That comes now. So, when this halahal, this churning was happening, poison came and it was spreading everywhere. So, everyone approached Shiva for shelter. So, here, although he orchestrated everything, none of these points are so popular. Right? Most of these points, at least, they were not very popular. But Shiva's drinking poison during Samudra Manthan episode is so popular. Shiva is given the names, Neelakantha or whatever, Halahal, Dhara, whatever. So many names he got also. So Shiva was sitting with Parvati when demigods approached. Then all the demigods offered various prayers to Lord Shiva. As super soul, you give happiness and prosperity. So here, some of these prayers, will not go to the details of the prayers. So some of these prayers may seem that demigods are glorifying Lord Shiva more than his position. They are glorifying him as if he is the Supreme Lord. Right? But the reason why he is glorified like that is, being a representative of the Supreme Lord, he can be glorified as good as the Supreme Lord. For example, a chief minister is there. Right? His secretary or his main officer, his main whatever assistant. So he comes to this place as the representative of chief minister. You give him the same treatment as chief minister only. And if he says you something, you consider it as good as the chief minister's words. Because he's representing. He's just repeating that words. So whenever demigods like Brahma or Shiva are glorified as if they are the Supreme Lord, they are just being identified as representatives of the Supreme Lord. They are as the Shaktiyavesh avatars or Guna avatars of the Supreme Lord and being glorified like that. And yeah, these are, Shiva is the total of everything in the universe. So they glorify him like that. This is kind of another kind of universal form description. Then, so shameless men misunderstand you as lusty and ferocious. Even Brahma cannot understand you, what to speak of Brahma's creation. Right? Your presence brings flourishing happiness to everyone. Beyond this, no one can appreciate your activities. Like that, they glorify Shiva. While this glorification is going on, Lord was also present there. So, it's a very serious proposal that the demigods brought. Halahal came, you have to protect us from this poison. So, it's a very serious thing, decision he has to make. He consulted Parvati. And Parvati gave Shiva permission. He said, it is my duty as master to give protection and safety to everyone. Even though conditioned souls fight with each other in animosity, devotees even risk their lives to save conditioned souls. This is a beautiful section where Prabhupada also emphasized a lot on being and sacrifice or accepting voluntarily some inconvenience for the welfare of everyone. Tapyante lokatapena. So that verse comes in this episode only. So Bhavani gave permission. So Shiva took the poison for the benefit of all jivas. A blue line formed on his neck. That is an ornament for Shiva. So, highest method of worship to the Supreme Lord is practiced by great personalities, which is accepting voluntary suffering for the suffering of people in general. So, this is the theme of all our services. We may not be able to do some service. We may not be liking some services. It may not suit our taste or whatever, but we do it for the welfare of everyone. Because Guru is working for the welfare of all living entities. By assisting Guru in his activity, so I am doing some sacrifice, voluntarily accepting suffering. So tapyante, this tapa or austerity is of two types. One is austerity accepted for one's own upliftment or spiritual advancement. Second is austerity accepted for others' welfare. So we have austerity in three modes. Right? What is the austerity of speech? Anudvega karam vakyam satyam prehitam chet. All these are there, right? So this is austerity of speech. Then austerity of mind, austerity of body. There are so many austerities which are mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. That is for personal improvement. And there is another austerity. They are like this. Tapyante lokatapena sadhava prayashojana paramaradhanam taddi purushasya akhilatmanah. This austerity which is taken up for the welfare of other people, so that is very pleasing to the Supreme Lord. Paramaradhanam taddi, that is the supreme most worship. Right? So Bhavani gave permission and Lord drank that poison. Shiva drank that poison and some drops fell and snakes drank it and they became poisonous. So now the churning of the ocean continues. First Surabhi appeared. After that who appeared? Sages took charge. Then after that Uchchaishrava, horse appeared. Who took charge of this? Veli Maharaj. Right? Then next Airavat appeared. Who took charge? Then some eight elephants appeared. Who took charge? Eight male elephants and eight female elephants. Anyone remembers? It's not mentioned, right? That's why I also didn't mention. Then this Kaustubha and Padmaraga, these jewels appeared. Lord Vishnu took it. Then Parijata and Apsaras appeared. Then Goddess of Fortune appeared. Then comes the Lakshmi Swayamvar episode. So when the Lord appeared, when Lakshmi appeared, so many personalities came and offered gifts to Lakshmi, and there was Abhishek ceremony performed to Mother Lakshmi. And next Swayamvar episode. So her beauty was described, and Goddess of Fortune sees everyone with some faults. Right? So, no, she could not take shelter of any one of them. So, now, she, like, there is Durvasamuni. He has the good quality of austerity, but he's angry. There is Brahma. He's great, but he has lusty desires. Indra is there. He's a great person, but he is dependent on others. Daksha is there. Right? He has the quality of renunciation, but he's not liberated. So Kumaras are there. They are also renounced, but they are not equal to Vishnu. So Shiva is there. He has eternal life, but he has inauspicious habits. So like that, she found some. It's not like finding fault with great personalities. It's basically the whole episode is a glorification of Vishnu. In comparison to Vishnu, no one can match him in possession of so many qualities. Right? They may be so great, but they always have some loophole here and there. But Lord Vishnu has absolutely no faults. This is a glorification of Vishnu only. It's not a fault finding of all these great personalities. Like that. Then Varuni came. All the demons took over that Varuni. Then Dhanvantari came with a nectar pot. Then, like his appearance is described, his form is described. So, the demons immediately snatched that nectar pot and then they ran away. Then seeing that demigods became so morose, disappointed. Itna mehnat kiya, nectar pot came and these fellows snatched it away. They left. They became morose. And in moroseness, where will they take shelter? Lord's shelter. Lord assured the demigods, don't worry, I'll manage the show. Right, I'll fulfill your desire. You want nectar, right? Mil jayega. So demons started quarreling among themselves for first chance. So demons, when they took also, it's not that they are distributing among themselves equally. They were, I want first, aham purvam, it's like that. And some weaker demons who are unable to fight with the stronger demons, they think, are demigods also have worked so hard, you should give them also a share. Right? So because they are unable to get the share, they are now speaking justice. If the nectar pot was there in their hands, they would not have said these words. Like that. So then, Lord appeared as Mohini Murti. So her beauty is described. Right? So, and her activities are described in the next chapter. So demons became very inimical with each other. They were captivated by seeing the beauty of Mohini Murti. So demons told Mohini Murti, what to speak of human beings? Even demigods did not touch you. So why you came before us? What is your identity? Right? Certainly Lord must have sent you here to please our senses and mind. Is that not a fact? So like that they were in a very attractive. They got attracted to her and they were describing her and speaking to her. Like that. So then Mohini Murthy said, I am a prostitute. Learned people do not put faith in women. Right? So actually the demons proposed that we are sons of Kashyapa, but we are fighting for nectar. But we request you to share this nectar equally to all of us. So they could not trust their own associates, but they trusted a woman. So woman attracts. Woman, a beautiful woman or young girl, they attract trust. That's why in all these ads of so many products, you have some young girls coming and advertising the product. They attract trust. Seeing a girl advertising, they get attracted. Hey, I must take this product. So like that. So girls attract trust. So she said, I am a prostitute. Even though she said that I am a prostitute, you should not put faith in a woman. Right, they desire new friendships and relations. Like that, she described the nature of a woman so much. But still, demons were so confident. They were so intoxicated. No. Why are you saying like this? Right, we have full faith in you that you can distribute to us without any partiality. Please, take this nectar pot. Distribute. Like that. So, Lord said, if you accept whatever I do, honest or dishonest, then I will take responsibility. He's clarifying the expectations. Mohini Murthy, right? The demon said, right, we are agreeing to this proposal. Then why, although these demons put so much trust on Mohini Murthy, why Mohini Murthy had that heart to cheat all of them? Is it justice? Right, demons so innocently gave her the nectar pot and she is expertly cheating all of them. Is it truth? Is it correct on the part of Mohini Murthy to do like this? It is absolutely correct because it's like feeding milk to a snake. If you feed nectar to the demigods, to the demons, they become more powerful. And by nature, they are very inimical. They have destructive mentalities. They're bad. So if you feed milk to the snake, poison only will increase. So like that. So Mohini Murthy took up the nectar pot, entered the arena where all the demigods and demons were sitting in queues, right? Prasadam serving, nectar serving. That is happening. So it's a very, it's dangerous to distribute the nectar to demons. So that's why she is distributing only to the demigods. So Mohini Murthy arranged special separate lines. So first she went to the demons, spoke sweet words and cheated them of their share. And later gave the nectar to the demigods only. So to keep their promise and equilibrium and not to fight with a woman, demons kept silent. All these fellows became sober. So in front of a woman, everyone wants to show off. Every man wants to be like a very well-behaved, gentlemanly person, right? So that is the nature of a person to impress the opposite sex. So demons were doing the same thing in front of Mohini Murthy. So having developed love and affection for her and not liking to disturb their relationship with her, although there is no relationship, right, they kept silent. Every fellow was thinking that she loves me the most. How can I hurt her? Oh, although she is doing injustice, it's okay. Fine, I can tolerate. She is my beloved. They were thinking like this. So then cunning Rahu came there and then he started taking the nectar. Then Surya and Chandra detected it. Then Mohini Murthy beheaded him. You can connect. Oh, it's not charging. So the demons were thoroughly cheated like this. What was that verse? Samadesha Kala, what is that? Hetu. Evam Sarasuragana Samadeshagala Hetvartha Karma Matayo Falepi Karma Matayo Falepi Kalpa. So that is the verse. So because the demigods are dedicated to the Lord's will, they got all benefits. They got the final result. But the demons are inimical to the Lord's will, they did not get anything. So ultimately, one's dedication, one's surrender to the Supreme Lord will give you all success. Not otherwise. You may be strengthy, you may be educated, you may be doing whatever you want, But one surrender to the Supreme Lord will give all success. Then there is a huge battle between the demigods and demons, right? So we will not go into the details of the battle. So despite all their endeavor, daityas could not get nectar because they are not devotees. So, and Lord came in the form of Mohini Murthy, cheated the demigods, cheated the demons, and he became Vishnu again and then went back to Vaikuntha and Garuda. So who will they catch? Right? If someone cheated you, you can search that person and then go and catch that person. Hey, why you did like this? No, Mohini Murthy is not there only. Lord, they retracted that form. Right? They cannot catch anyone. That's an illusion. So all of these people attacked the demigods. So there were sounds of conch shells, bugles, and there is a big fight. So we'll skip this fight, okay? So Namuchi, Sambara, Bana, Viprachitti, Ayomukha, these are all various demons who participated in the war. So demigods like Vayu, Agni, Varuna, they are also present. Right? All warriors fought with great fighting spirit. Then Bali shot 18 arrows at Indra. Indra shot 10. Then Airavata, towards Indra he shot 10. Airavata 3. Horseman 4. Then driver of Airavata 1. So like that. There was a 2-chapter description. So at one point in this battle, so the demigod soldiers became very morose because they were, got these 3 paces of land. That was his question. And I am anxious to know about this mystery of this contradiction. So, now we will go back to what happened at the end of Samudra Manthana episode. What happened? Bali Maharaj was revived by Sukracharya by employing Sanjeevani Mantra. So, we are continuing from there. So, Bali Maharaj was brought back to life by Sukracharya. So, Bali served them gratefully. So, these brahmanas, they performed Viswajit Yajna. Right? So, at the end of the sacrifice, a celestial chariot came and horses came and Sukracharya gave him a conch shell. Then Bali Maharaj gave him blessings and a garland, right, to be worn. Actually, somebody asked the question to His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj that how can Bali Maharaj offer blessings to how can Prahlad Maharaj offer blessings to Bali Maharaj? Prahlad Maharaj is a pure devotee. How can his blessings empower Bali Maharaj to conquer the demigods? So here, with the blessings of Prahlad Maharaj, he was conquering, Bali Maharaj was conquering the demigods, which is actually against the protocols of the universal administrative system, which is against the will of the Lord. How can Prahlad Maharaj bless Bali Maharaj like that? Any answer? Hare Krishna. So, Maharaj answers that ultimately the blessings of Prahlad Maharaj are meant for the pure devotional service of Bali Maharaj. Right? His blessings are ultimately for Bali Maharaj to receive the benedictions or the blessings or the mercy of Vamanadeva. Ultimately, they were spiritual blessings. But unless he conquers the demigods, he attacks the Indrapuri and then conquers the demigods and sits on his throne, why would Vamandev come in the form of a dwarf and give mercy to Bali Maharaj? Right? So, this apparently it seems that Bali Maharaj received blessings from Prahlad Maharaj to conquer the demigods, but it's ultimately to get pure devotional service. Like that. It's a, on the way it is coming. Ultimately, you have to reach Vada only. On the way, you reach Hamrapur Phata. When you are coming from Bombay. Like that. So, Bali Maharaj being empowered by this Viswajit Yajna and all the gifts given by so many people. So, he went to attack Indrapuri, Indra's city. And here, Sukadeva Goswami describes Indra's city so much. How it has beautiful gardens and golden doors and marble gates, etc. So when Bali Maharaj is coming with such a rejuvenated enthusiasm, right, with so much of army, Indra got bewildered. Hey, Kachalde, where did he get so much strength? Right? I thought I killed him in the war. So Indra went and asked Brihaspati. So Brihaspati gave advice to demigods. Yeah, he became very powerful, because of the blessings of Brahmanas. So, except the Supreme Lord, no one can stand before Bhai Maharaj now. So you understand, right? You are not Supreme Lord. So you cannot stand in front of Bali Maharaj. So better, bhag jao. Right? Get out of this place. So accepting the words of Brihaspati, they left heaven and in a disguised way, unobserved by the demons. Like that. So Bali Maharaj took control of the heaven and further three worlds. So then some Brahmanas headed by Bhrigu and all, they arranged a sacrifice. So Bali Maharaj set on a sacrifice to perform 100 Ashwamedha Yajnas. So Bali Maharaj shone brilliantly like a sun. So that is Bali Maharaj's thing. Now what happened to the mother of the demigods? Because of Bali Maharaj's attack, all the demigods in disguise, they went away from the heavenly planets. They were hiding somewhere in some corner of the universe. So this pained the heart of Aditi so much. So Kashyap Muni once visited Aditi's ashram, right? Then Aditi was so distressful because of the condition of her sons. So she lamented for protection. Then Kashyap Muni asked, "Hey, why are you so morose? Have you disobeyed the prescribed duties? Are there any discrepancies in following Dharma Artha Kama? Right? Have you failed to receive guests properly? Feru Raja Gruhopama. Right? If you fail to receive guests properly, even at least by washing their feet or offering them some water, it's like a hole of a jackal. So did you fail to worship the fire and brahmanas? Are your sons well?" So she said, he asked all these questions. So Aditi said, "Your first four questions, I have answered that no discrepancy in all the four elements that he had mentioned. But there is some discrepancy in the fifth element. My sons are not well." Right? So, we are deprived of opulence, fame, beauty, residence. And now we are exiled. So please consider our situation and bestow benediction by which one can regain what was lost. Like that. So Kashyap was shocked. Hari, see the power of Maya. How much attraction one has for his progeny and children. Right? So my wife Aditi was so much affected by her son's condition. So he said, "Okay, I have one solution for you. Just engage in devotional service to the Supreme Lord. So he can only give auspicious benediction for everyone. So he will bestow benediction on the poor. So accept devotional service. All other processes are useless." Then Aditi asked, "You are asking me to worship the Supreme Lord. So what exactly is the method you want me to follow?" So now Kashyap Muni explains this payovrata sacrifice. Yeah. Paya means milk. Right? Milk vow. So one can satisfy the Lord in 12 days by following this vrata. By subsisting on milk for 12 days. So smiya, then he gives so many rules and regulations of that vrata. So then she very nicely follows that vrata. Then she controlled her mind and senses. She concentrated her mind on Lord Vasudeva with a desire to reinstate her sons, devatas, in their positions. Then the Lord appeared in front of her, right, after that vrata. Then she offered nice prayers. She glorified the Lord as Ramapati, Yajnapati and Jagatpati. Then the Lord's names also she mentioned, Yajnesha and Yajnapurusha, Achyuta, Tirthapada, right? Shravana Mangala Namadheya. So these are various names, Apanna Loka. So like that she offered prayers and now the Lord reveals the plan. So I know your desire and your current situation. I know what you want. You are wanting to regain your son's position. You want to regain opulence. You want to regain the abode, heavenly abode. You want to see the wives of the demons lament for the death of their husbands. Lord says like this. So, since demons are favored by Brahmanas, who is favored by the Lord, they cannot be defeated now. Nevertheless, you have worshipped me with this desire. That worship will not go in vain. So,
by your vrata and by Kashyap Muni's austerities, I will become your son. Keep this secret, confidential. Don't reveal this news to anyone. Right? Till that happens. Then Lord disappeared. Aditi felt so happy. She approached her husband. Kashyap Muni could understand. Then eventually the Supreme Lord was born. He appeared as Vaman Dev from Kashyapa and Aditi. So Brahma offered beautiful prayers. Right? He glorified him as Brahmanya Devaya, Urukrama, Urugaya, Trigunaya, Prushnigarbhaya, Vyadagarbhaya. So like that, in various ways he glorified. Then when Lord Vamanadev appeared, so there was effulgence dissipated. The effulgence that dissipated the darkness of Kashyap Muni's ashram. And there were so many other auspicious symptoms. And so many exalted personalities appeared there and offered many gifts to Vamanadev. Right? Brahmaji came with a water pot. Seven sages came with Kushagras. Saraswati came with Rudraksha beads. Right? Then Kashyap Muni offered a straw belt. So like that, various people offered various presentations. Then Vamanadev heard that Bali Maharaj is doing some sacrifice. So let me go and see. So Vamanadev walked. As he was walking, he was pushing down the earth with his weight. Right? So at a place named Bhrugukachya, so the sacrifice is being performed. So having robbed of their effulgence, Bali and priests asked one another, who is this personality, small boy, dwarf Brahman, coming to our sacrificial arena? He's like a son, right? So is he Sanat Kumara? So while the priests were arguing like this, Lord Vamanadev entered the sacrificial arena of Bali Maharaj. So Bali Maharaj jubilantly received Vamanadev and washed his lotus feet and sprinkled that water on his head. He knows the potency of the Lord's foot wash, which is Ganga, and purified Shiva himself. So he was heartily welcomed. Vamanadev was heartily welcomed. And Bali Maharaj said, by your arrival, all my forefathers are satisfied. Our family and entire dynasty was sanctified. And sacrificial fire is ablaze according to scriptures. My sins are destroyed. Entire world is sanctified. So, like that he glorified. So, what charity you want? You want a cow? Or you want a kanya? I mean, daughter of a brahmana for marriage? You want a palatable food or drink? Or what do you want? You tell me. Then, Bali Maharaj says, I'm satisfied with what you have spoken. So, you are very exalted. Your instructor is Prahlad Maharaj. Your advisor is all these Bhargavas, Bhrugu's descendants. Your words are very dharmic. So, there is no one in this family who is low-minded in your dynasty. Right? No one refused to give charity. No one has broken his promise in delivering the goods to people, charity to the people. So, he glorified Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyaksha. So he conquered the world alone. Right? Lord killed them with great difficulty. Varahadev killed your dynasty man, great grandfather Hiranyaksha, with great difficulty. Then Hiranyakashipu, so he glorified. He was glorified by Vamanadev. So he was searching the Lord to kill him. Right? So the Lord entered his heart in anxiety. So unable to find him, throughout thought of him as died, right? Thought him to be death. Means, actually, the description was given that the Lord, out of fear of Hiranyakashipu, he entered the nostril and entered the heart and hid there. So no one will search his own heart. So that kind of description was given. So now, he glorified him in many ways. He glorified his forefathers in many ways. Then he glorified his father also, Virochana. He gave his life. Though he knew that it was the demigods who came in the disguise of a Brahmana. Right? He gave his life in charity. So, you have offered me so many things, but I don't want anything. I want just 3 steps of land. Right? And a Brahmana is entangled in sin if he takes more than what is required.
Right? He will not be entangled in sin if he takes what he needs. So like that. So your instructions are good. You know, Bali Maharaj is responding now. Your instructions are good as learned and elderly persons, but I think you are not very smart. You are not very prudent enough. Your feet are so small and you are asking 3 steps. How much land you will occupy? Right? So if I give this kind of meager charity, what will people think of me? If you take some charity from me, in the next 10 lifetimes, you should not go and beg charity from anyone else. You should have that much wealth. So, like that, he says. So, I am able to give you charity of an entire island. Why are you asking 3 pieces of land? So, like that, he says. So, Vamandev speaks about principles of satisfaction. So, one with uncontrolled senses is never satisfied. If I can't be satisfied by 3 steps of land, I can't be satisfied even if you give me 3 worlds. Right? And he gives a big seminar on satisfaction. Like that. One who has uncontrolled senses cannot be satisfied. Then, Bali smiles and says, okay, fine. You take whatever you want. Fine. No problem. Then, Sukracharya gives a warning to Bali Maharaj. This dwarf Brahman, Vamandev, he is Vishnu himself. You know why he came? To take away everything from you. In just 2 steps, he will cover everything. And where, how will you give third step? So you will be blamed for anrita dosha, for untruthful promise, like that. Then he kind of discouraged him to give charity. But and he also gives a seminar on art of lying. When can you lie? Right? Whenever you give a promise, you have to utter Om. Then that promise has weight. You have not uttered Om. Om bola gaya. Nahi. No problem. You can take back your words. You need not give him 3 steps. So he said like that. But Bali Maharaj said, no, once I have promised, I cannot take back my words. Because Mother Earth can bear anything, any weight, except the untruthful liar. Right? So I will go ahead and give. And Bali Maharaj gives 9 reasons to Sukracharya for giving charity. Right, I do not fear hell, poverty, and ocean of distress, even death also, as much as I fear cheating a Brahmana. A Brahmana boy came and is asking some charity, and I said I will give. How can I not give now? Right? So, opulences are anyways separated from me at the time of death. Shibi and Dadichi, they gave up their life for others. What to stay of land? To give charity. Same, great people gave their lives. And I am giving only few, some land only. So at least, I will do it for good reputation. Right? Chance for charity is so rare. And we are saying that Vishnu came for charity. So becoming poor by charity is auspicious only. So Lord Vishnu must be worshipped in all circumstances. So like that in various ways, he disagrees with Sukracharya. So Bali Maharaj first offered water to Vamandev. And then offered the land. Then Vindhyavali brought water in a golden water pot to wash Lord's feet. And then both took water on their hands. So Demi got showered flowers and all. And glorification of Bali. Because Bali took a very bold step of even disagreeing with his guru to give charity to Vamandev. So Vamandev occupies everything in 2 steps. So he increased his size. He became Trivikrama. Right? So then so many prayers were offered to him. Then Lord covered the surface of earth with 1 footstep, sky with his body, and all directions with his arms. So with the 2nd step, he covered the heavenly planets also. So no more step, no more place remaining for the 3rd step. Then when Lord Vamandev became like Trivikrama and then exhibited such a gigantic form, the effulgence of his toenails camouflaged everything. So various great people came to worship the Lord. So the descent of Ganga also happened like this only. Right? Then Jambavan, he went in circumambulation of Lord Vamandev. Like that. So Bali stops his demoniac followers. Then while Vamandev retracted his form, he became small. Right? From Trivikrama, he became normal Vamana. If you go to Kanchipurna, there is one Vamandev temple. It's like 20-30 feet tall deity. then that is Trivikrama deity, Trivikrama Perumal, right? So Lord extending his leg upwards, that is seen there. So when Vamandev became small, all the demoniac followers of Bali Maharaj, they felt that, hey, this boy cheated our boss, right? We have to do something. They started attacking Vamandev. Then Bali Maharaj controlled them. Relax, time is not favoring us now, so you should keep quiet. You should not unnecessarily attack this person. Then Vamandev spoke to Bali Maharaj now. Actually, then Vishnu soldiers also came there, and they chased away all these daityas, and daityas entered these lower regions of the universe, right? So Lord arrested Bali Maharaj with Varuna Pash. Then he spoke to Bali Maharaj. He said, I occupied the entire universe with two steps. Now where is the third step? Right? With one step I occupied Bhurloka. Then with body directions, and with second step I occupied the heavenly planets. Right? With my body I occupied the sky. So one has to go to hell if one is unable to give charity. Right? As per order of your guru, charity is not given properly, one goes to hell instead of heaven. So he says so many things. Then Bali Maharaj says, I fear defamation more than anything else. My Lord, please put your third step on my head. Right? So like parents punish the son, I regard your punishment as very exalted. So please punish me. Then he says, what is the use of a material body which leaves the owner at the end of life? What is the Sanskrit? Kimatmananena jahati yantata. Right? Kim riktahara svajanakhya dasubhi. So like that verse he quotes. Then, my grandfather always takes shelter of your lotus feet. He was quoting Prahlad Maharaj. So Prahlad Maharaj offered his prayers to the Lord. Right, material opulence is so bewildering that it makes even a learned, self-controlled man forget to search for the goal of self-realization. So Bali Maharaj was so confident that I can give charity. I'm a big data, mahadata. But Lord humbled him. So, just like Lord humbled Sudama by giving him opulences, because Sudama was slightly proud that I'm so detached, I'm so renounced. Right, I can wear torn clothes and then wander. And Bali Maharaj was proud that I can give charity to anyone, anything. So, by giving opulences, Lord humbled Sudama. By taking away opulences, Lord humbled Bali Maharaj. Then Brahmaji came and, Vindhyavali came and offered prayers. Then Brahmaji came and offered prayers. He said, "Arey, you have humbled him, humiliated him so thoroughly. He deserves so much of treatment, so much of ill-treatment by you like this. See, he offered everything. He offered you three worlds. Right, and now you have arrested him. He doesn't deserve this kind of treatment. My Lord, please show some mercy." Then Lord's favor is dead. Lord told Brahmaji, so materially opulent person has no respect for anyone within these three worlds and defies even my authority. So what I do, I favor him by taking away his possessions. So even if a person is opulent, beautiful, youthful, have good education or whatever, he can get special mercy from me. Right? So opulence never disturbs a pure devotee. Like that. So Bali Maharaj, he glorifies Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj did not deviate in spite of me making him bereft of riches. Right? He fell from his original position. He was defeated. He was arrested. He was rebuked. Right? He was deserted by his relatives. He was suffering the pain of being bound, right? He was cursed by spiritual master. I have put him through such great test. Still, Bali Maharaj was so confident, so tolerant towards all this kind of treatment. So he appreciated. Then he told Bali Maharaj, so you go to Sutala planet, live there happily. So no one can conquer you, not even demons. If they transgress your rule, my disc will kill them. So Lord is offering his Sudarshan for the protection of Bali Maharaj. And I shall personally be with you as your doorkeeper. So because of my prowess, he will not be affected by the association of demons. Then after dispatching him like that. So Bali Maharaj offered his gratitude and he left. Then Lord fulfilled Aditi's desire finally by reinstating her sons in the position of heavenly posts. Then Prahlad Maharaj glorified the Lord. So even though you are equal to everyone, you favor your devotees, my Lord. Then Lord reassured Prahlad Maharaj, you shall be able to see me there in my usual feature. You also go to Sutala planet there. Like that. Then Lord told Shukracharya, please describe the fault and discrepancy in your disciple. He asked like that. Then Shukracharya glorifies Lord's holy name. Sarvam karoti nischidnam sankirtanam tava. There could be discrepancies in this and that. Desha kalarha vastutaha. But all this will be destroyed if one chants your holy name. Then all the demigods worship the Lord. And the falastuti of this episode is that those who hear the activities of Lord Vamandeva are freed from all results of sinful activities. So by describing the activities of Vamandeva, any ritualistic ceremony that is meant for even demigods or forefathers or any social function will become extremely auspicious. Like that. Next. So that's how Bali Maharaj's episode is complete. Now, Parikshit Maharaj asks a question about Matsya Avatar. So, Vamandev took the form of a condemned beggar and expanded himself. Then, the same Lord took the form of a condemned fish and he expanded himself. Right? And he protected Satyavrat Muni. I want to know. Satyavrat Maharaj. I want to know about his activities also. So, now, Sukadeva Goswami describes the first appearance of Matsya Avatar. So in the past millennium, at the end of Brahma's day, Brahma felt little sleepy like this, right? Then Vedas were stolen by a demon named Hayagriva. So Lord assumed the form of a fish and saved the Vedas by killing this Hayagriva demon. Then in the sixth Manvantara, so Satyavrata did so many austerities and he was born as Shraddha Deva, son of Vivaswan, Vaivasvata, in the seventh Manvantara. So one day, after offering water in one river, right, offering in Katamala, Kritamala, a small fish appeared in the water in his palms. So it just a fish came like this. So now the fish spoke, "Why are you throwing me?" So when fish came, then he throws and then he takes water, right? So the fish asked, "Why are you throwing me?" So give me protection. "Oh, definitely I will protect you." Then he put it in a water jug. Then fish became so big. Then he put it in a big well. That also became big. In that also the fish became big. Then he put it in a lake and then in ocean. Then finally the fish is becoming large and large. Then Satyavrata Maharaj asked, "Who are you? Right? You are simply bewildering us. From this big fish, hand big fish, you became like oceanic. So, I wish to know your purpose. You are the supreme friend and dearmost super soul of everyone. Worship of your lotus feet will never be useless." So basically, he identified that he is the supreme Lord. No other fish can manifest like this, right? Then the Lord replied to the king, "Yes, I am the supreme Lord. In 7 days, the three worlds will all merge into the water of inundation. So, I will send a large boat, load all kinds of herbs and seeds in that, and then accompanied by rishis, I will take you in that boat. Right? Attach the vessel to my horn by Vasuki. So I will pull the boat, I will take you in this water of devastation." So like that he says. So as the Lord said, Satyavrata along with the sages, they were ready after loading the boat with whatever things that the Lord had mentioned. Then the Lord appeared and he took all of them in this boat. Then Satyavrata Muni offers beautiful prayers to Lord Matsya by glorifying him as the supreme spiritual master. Right? Being guru is the theme of these prayers. So a materialistic guru instructs on artha and kama, keeping his disciple in material existence, but you give eternal knowledge that places a person in original constitutional position. So like that in various ways he glorifies the Lord as Guru.
right? One who hears this episode is delivered from sinful reactions. One who narrates, his ambitions are fulfilled and he will go back to Godhead. Thank you all very much. Granthraya Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Any comments, questions, clarifications? Was that exhaustive? It can do. Any questions, Prabhu? Any discussion points? Who? Gajendra, yeah, yeah, correct.
I mean, some of it must be his own prayers, because then he says, "I'm a even for an animal."
In the last part, he says, "I don't want to be even after I'm protected from this crocodile. I want liberation. I want liberation from ignorance." All that, yeah. He says.
So some of it is his own prayers.
It seems they are personal prayers. Mm. In the last part. But it is mentioned that initial, all those prayers are his remembrance of some Vedic hymn. There also Prabhupada recommends, somehow you by heart some mantras, some shlokas. At some point they will come to your rescue. In those purposes, yes. Yes.
The pictures where Vamandeva is putting his leg on Bali Maharaj, is it, it's not there in the Bhagavatam, so is it there or
no? No, Bali Maharaj said that you put your third foot on my head, right? So that part is not actually mentioned. See, we can't say that it is wrong. Some paintings where Bali Maharaj is, Vamadeva is putting his foot on Bali Maharaj. We can actually refer to some Puranas where this pastime is described more elaborately. And all details you may not find in Bhagavatam. Right? So probably that. Huh? Even an ISKCON painting is also there, where Lord keeps his foot on Bali Maharaj's head. Must be true. I heard also many times. Anything? Yes, Subal Pran Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. There is just one detailed clarification. I just want that you mentioned today that Indra, when he saw Bali Maharaj with the enthusiasm and new force, he asked that ki, last time I defeated him, how he becomes so enthusiastic. So last, that churning and fighting part was mentioned in the sixth Manvantara. And this particular Manvantara in which Vamandev is supposed to be appeared as the Manvantara avatar, that is the seventh Manvantara.
Vamandev is seventh Manvantara avatar.
Right. So that... some missing link is there, something like that. Because Bhagavatam mentioned that Lord is supposed to appear in seventh Manvantara as a Manvantara avatar, and it's mentioned that he will be the son of Kashyap and Aditi. And then it's mentioned that Bali Maharaj, when he was unconscious or something, he got revived by the Shukracharya, then Vishwajit Yagya was there, everything he got, and then he attacked. Then, like this. Mm. So, 6 to 7 transactions, something.
So Bali Maharaj will become Indra in future Manvantara, eighth Manvantara. Then seventh Manvantara, this happens. Sixth Manvantara, Samudra Mantra happens. Actually, we need to explore actually. I don't have an idea of that. Very good observation you made. We can explore on this. Yeah. So the gap is like two manvantaras, in Chakshusa, Bali was defeated. And the next seventh manvantara, he was revived or not, that we need to find out actually. Because there is definitely a gap between that demigod-demon fight after Samudra Manthan and Bali Maharaj attacking Indra. There is a gap. So how big was the gap? Is it like one manvantara transition happened between this gap? That we need to exactly figure out. We can explore actually and find out.
Got planets, right? It may mean just a few years or something.
Yeah, could be possible. Different. It could be shorter. It's perceived as shorter. Yeah, still, that manvantara change is there. We can see. Bro. We can explore. We'll ask some Bhanu Maharaj or someone. We'll ask. Anyone else? You have something? Fine. Thank you. So that feedback addressing part, was that satisfactory to you? Or if you have any questions, you can come to me. You can come to me personally also. You can share now also. Sorry if something is hurting to you, some of your suggestions, if they are not accepted, if they are hurting to you, I'm sorry. But you can always come to me if you have anything to discuss or if something is bothering you.